Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel. It's the Wretched Radio Mail Call Delivery Bag Q&A Infotainment Nationwide Extravaganza, featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh. Who needs Jimmy and Mike? This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. Guys, I've got my own email to read.
Okay, because that's not what I thought we were doing first.
Here's what I've got. Hello, Mike. So it was actually written to you.
Oh, okay.
I intercepted it. This is Pastor Jeff.
Pastor
from
Jeff.
Spring Creek Church in Logansport, Inn. Is that India? Is that where he's from? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
We had our 13 Reasons outreach today at Logansport High School. We gave out 800 copies of 13 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide this morning.
That's awesome.
As the students came off the bus or were dropped off by their parents. Our team consisted of 5 adults, including myself, and 6 kids, 9 to 12 years old. Love when a local church gets everybody involved. And in that short amount of time, they handed out 800 copies of a gospel booklet called 13 Reasons Why Not to Commit Suicide. Our community has been hit hard by suicide. Every community has, I'm afraid. So the topic resonated with the superintendent and the students. I believe it had helped us to get permission from the superintendent, who read the book and simply asked me to whom and how I plan to distribute it and give it away to so many students. We plan on building on this, and we are considering using 13 Reasons at our next 4-H Fair outreach. This can't be India, then. And our next year at the high school. Salute and well done. Please know that you can still go to campuses. Some of them are not as populated as others right now, but kids are still there. And I don't know of an easier way to start a conversation than giving them a booklet about suicide to say, hey, do you know anybody who might need this? And start talking about it.
Well, that's encouraging. There's campuses that'll allow that.
Well, yeah, it's a public school, and we be the public. That means we can be there. It's true. We pay. Are your taxes pay for it? We own the school buildings. We get to go there. That's how this country, well, at least for a season, still works. Go to a campus and give them out to students and start conversations. You will be shocked. Can't wait to do that myself. Headed out to Kennesaw State University and plan on doing that very thing. Going to bring along probably about 10 booklets because I know I'm going to get into a conversation with each one of the students. These kids are hurting, and I know why. We were just watching this morning Road Trip to Truth. It was episode 8, and this was probably the episode that just put me over the edge on my understanding of why so many kids are so lost. These kids were being asked very difficult questions like, is there truth? And how do you know that rape and child abuse are wrong? I'm telling you, the look on their face, they sort of look like a lottery, what's the slot machine that's at the casinos? You know, you pull it and they say, that's what they look, their eyes were going, how long do you want me to do this?
You can stop.
And we're good.
Not if you like gambling, you must like this sound or you wouldn't keep going there. Stop the clamor. Drove me nuts when I was in a casino once. These kids, their eyes start rotating and they never stop. And there's never a jackpot. The payoff is nihilism and depression. These kids, they need the gospel. So if you can get out to a campus, skedaddle with some gospel literature. And if money is an issue, know that we will still send you What Time is Purple from a Tom Hammond You just pay for shipping, and we'll send you as many copies as you promised to give away. You can do all of that at wretched.org.
You need a question, comment, conundrum, snark.
Yeah, but if I say I do, that means I need you.
Well, I am here for you, Todd.
Thank you. All right, what do we got?
All right, so I know that this is difficult for you, remembering things that you've written in books before.
I'm not Ray Comfort, you know.
You're getting up there.
So in your book, in the book Reset for Parents, somebody asked, this is one of your excerpts from the book, when a child is born, he or she is innocent because your children cannot knowingly and willfully rebel against God at a young age. No sin is credited to their account. Should they die, they will be home safely with Jesus because God doesn't send humans to hell who have not accumulated a sin debt. After reading that, this reader said, I feel uneasy concluding that he's denying the doctrine of original sin.
Nope.
But that's what this
great point,
seems
though.
To be interpreted.
Yep.
So
yep.
Do you suggest that all infants who die will unequivocally go to heaven?
Yes. I'm not suggesting that. I'm stating that. But I'm also fully believing and firmly believing in the doctrine of total depravity. We inherit that nature from our great-great-grandfather Adam, Romans chapter 5. But that does not mean that we have a sin debt with God. I believe in a level of accountability that until we are willfully, knowingly sinning against God, God is not crediting to our account a sin debt. Therefore, if a child who does not have that cognitive ability, if a person who does not have that mental capacity is not sinning against God in a willful, knowing way, he does not have a sin debt. And that child or that adult with mental issues will not be damned, for even though they sin, make no mistake about it, if you are not certain that kids sin, apparently you don't have kids.
Yes,
they
absolutely
sin plenty, but it is not a sin debt that they are accruing because they're not willfully sinning against God. So those two doctrines, those two statements, they are compatible and they dance together just fine. Please be comforted. If you have lost a child before that level, if you have lost a child in utero, if you even aborted your child, I have every confidence. I don't just say this like, well, let's just hope. No, I say it confidently. God is going to take your baby to heaven. You have a child with mental issues, and you don't think that they have ever been able to cognitively understand much of anything, let alone the gospel. You will see your child with their new eternal body in heaven. I say that confidently, and I also state confidently, they're totally depraved. And the two harmonize just fine. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. And don't forget, if you would like to see where those Bible verses are laid out, it's not one or two, it's about 21, maybe 23 verses from both Old and New Testament, safely in the arms of Jesus, or it's safely in the arms of God, go to Cripplegate. They did a nice job of summarizing it. John MacArthur wrote a book on the subject, but go to Cripplegate and just search for safely in the arms, and you will find all the Bible verses, Old and New Testament, that support that understanding. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, just kind of following up on what we were just on, there was another listener who said, how do you reconcile the belief that mental handicap and unborn children go to heaven because they don't have the capacity to consciously sin against God with the concept of natural sin and general revelation?
Yeah. Yeah. Because God is kind and God is good. And God does not damn somebody who does not have the mental capacity to willfully sin against him or to understand the means of salvation. I know we conservatives, we love to talk about the wrath of God, and that is good, but let's not fall out of balance here. Let's remember God is good. Do you know that God was never angry before he created the universe? Do you know that? God was never annoyed. God was never stirred to be mad at somebody. It took us sinful human beings to do that. Now, there's a purpose in that, that his mercy, grace, and loving kindness can be put on display for all of eternity, and we can know God more fully than Adam and Eve did before the fall, because we will get to understand and know and appreciate his mercy, his grace, and his loving kindness. But before the fall, God was never angry. All he did was love the Son. All the Holy Spirit did was love the Father and the Son. That's it. Why? Because God is love. He's not God demonstrates his wrath, but he's not this wrathful God that's just mad all the time, or even just, he's always provoked to anger. God is good. God is rich in mercy, and it would be against his character to damn a child or somebody with mental disabilities who can't understand that they're sinning or the means of salvation. Let's not forget that about our God. And frankly, I wonder if we might not need a little bit of a corrective ourselves. When we look out at the evangelical landscape, let's say 10 years ago, what was our lament? Oh, the preaching, it's all so squishy and so on. Okay, so what did we do? We shored up our theology. Excellent. What did we do? We started throwing some flames. Excellent. But maybe, just maybe, we have forgotten that we actually worship, this might make you shake a little, a tender God, a kind God, a merciful God, a sympathetic God, a God who stoops. Have we forgotten? Maybe. I don't know, but maybe. Whether it's evangelical Christianity at large, or maybe just you, need to remember and perhaps experience of a bit of a corrective. God is love, and he saves babies, and he saves people with mental cognitive issues. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining us here today at Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of you feeling like we're important enough to spend part of your day with. And maybe you want to keep up with all the happenings at Wretched. Well, every month, Wretched sends out a newsletter that covers tough theological issues, and it keeps you up to date with all the things new at Wretched. And you receive updates not only on what's going on at Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians face today. So if you want to get the Wretched newsletter in your email box each and every month, just head on over to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. And while you're there, check out our donate page and find out all of the information on becoming a gospel partner, and prayerfully consider helping us spread the gospel all over the world. wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
You are one of those people who considers long and hard to whom you're going to give your discretionary funds. Don't blame you for that. Would like to let you know, if you are considering preborn.org, that they are a holistic ministry. Not like Whole Foods, not all hippy-dippy. I mean, they're well-rounded. Not only ultrasounds for women who are considering abortions, which 80% of the time save the child's life, they do that. They also counsel the mommies, help them to become good mommies. They provide clothing, they provide diapers, they provide baby food, and if that isn't holistic enough, they counsel the dads, because 84% of the time dads are involved, boyfriends are involved with the abortion. They're pressuring the women. And Preborn teaches them how to be men who can be good dads. Sound holistic enough? Preborn.org, preborn.org.
Hey, kids. Now, welcome back to the Vocabulary Corner with me, Jimmy. It's time to learn a new vocabulary term. And today's word of the day is doomscrolling. So what is doomscrolling? Well, the definition is the tendency to continue to surf or scroll through bad news, even though that bad news is saddening, disheartening, or even depressing. But never fear. Wretched has a much better way for you to spend your time. Head on over to wretched.org. That's right, wretched.org, where you can watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV, listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast, and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. There are so many things that you can watch or listen to that will preoccupy your time in a much better way. And while you're there, would you also consider becoming a gospel partner? Our gospel partners mean the world to us. Literally. Without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll have to go back to doom scrolling. So skip the mindless surfing and visit wretched.org today. That's wretched.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes is a philosophical and poetic reflection on life. The author teaches that no matter what, all men die and face God's judgment. Life, then, is full of vanity and despair.
Anything that is pursued for its own sake is meaningless. But if we pursue God above all else, we can enjoy even mundane things as gifts from God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Don't forget, not just questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks. We like those, but we also like stories, articles, sermons that you think are wretched, and that can mean either way. Just send them, because we do read them. idea@wretched.org, gentlemen.
Yeah, hey, this next email.
Hey, wait a second.
What?
Are you?
Yes. You're cutting out.
Wait a second. I can't even believe this. Are you handsome Jimmy Hicks?
Q93.5. That was Bobby Ray. It was something to talk about.
Oh, goodness.
You didn't play the whole thing. Rayo. Anyway, you didn't even know who she was, did you? You were just the country boy doing some top 40.
Q93.5. That was Bonnie Raitt. It was
Bonnie Raitt?
Raitt. Bonnie Raitt.
That,
goodness.
I don't think you pronounce the I in Raitt. I could be wrong.
Oh, well, you know
We've had these discussions about how we pronounce
and
things.
See, that is why Southerners need the Greek language. You need some accent marks.
It's all Greek to me.
We could just settle and resolve this. It's not insurance. It's insurance. Do you hear the difference, gentlemen?
I work for State Farm and insurance.
It is not. It is insurance. There's a difference right below the Mason-Dixon and above it right there. Accent marks would just... There may not have been a war if we had had some accent marks.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yes, handsome Jimmy Hicks.
If you make fun of the way I talk...
Something to talk about in...
If you make fun of the way I talk,
said on before
oh, sorry
that
about
the
that.
Look.
Sorry.
What do you think about?
Haven't fixed the computer
hey,
yet.
Hey, what's going on, West Tennessee? Handsome Jimmy back along with you.
Handsome Jimmy.
Yep.
Self-proclaimed handsome Jimmy.
Handsomest guy on the radio.
I'm Brilliant Todd.
Brilliant.
Now, see, you're
I'm
laughing.
Magnificent Mike.
I see. All right. What?
So if you make fun of the way we talk, how do you feel about... Old Tom Hammond.
Tom Hammond talks, and he's actually, it sounds like he's playing a banjo without an instrument. Just twangs away that. Actually, he's going to be in town next week. We're actually filming season 2 already of Road Trip to Truth, and he's going to be dealing with the issue of agnosticism. Do not let the kids fool you when they say, I like to be an agnostic because, you know, it's just nothing. It's not believing anything. And that's what Tom is going to tackle, that agnosticism is underpinned with belief. Agnosticism is not the realm of non-belief. Oh, there's beliefs. They happen to be wrong, but don't deceive yourselves and don't let your kids find safe harbor in rejecting God because, well, they don't want to make mom and dad mad by being an atheist. They don't want to do that, but they certainly don't want to believe in Jesus, so they think they can just pull their little religious ship or their faith ship into the harbor of agnosticism because it's faithless. No, it's not. It's a belief system. Email sent to idea@wretched.org.
So my biggest fan, Jim, has a question for you, Mr. Friel. He says, Mr. Friel, even though I like Jimmy better, what it says, I didn't add that. He says, how do you respond to professing Christians who says they know homosexuality is a sin, but they cannot help it because they were born that way?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the second half of that. They says that or they say that?
I said they said that.
No, you yes, said I... they says that.
Now you are... did not
now say. You know he was adding stuff to the email.
No, oh, you said says. Goodness. I'll pull the tape on it. You probably said me and Mike...
No, that's Mike.
Did something. Says,
that is see? The stupidity over on that side of the room.
I see. I'm sorry. So I didn't hear a thing you said after the says business.
He says that he likes Jimmy better. That's what he said.
That's all that needs to be remembered.
He likes me better than Mr. Friel.
Okay, somebody who says they're born that way?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, let's say you are. Let's just for the sake of argument say that you're born that way. Is it still a sin? That's all. And once again, I can't tell you how often I find this device helpful. Just trade one sin for another. And the fallacy of their thinking is frequently revealed. I don't know if you know this, by the way, but I was born a child molester. Therefore, it is okay for me to participate in that activity because I was born that way. You'd go, whoa.
Not according to God's word.
not according to the Bible. So even if you're born that way, and there's biblically no problem with that in my estimation, we are broken, fallen people. We are indeed totally depraved from birth, and we all have different proclivities for different issues. All of us, I'm talking about some of us love some sins more than other sins. Some of us are better at certain sins than others. Doesn't matter how it got there. The reality is the Bible says you can't. So don't justify sin through Lady Gaga theology. Mm. Email sent to idea@wretched.org. Emails idea@wretched.org.
All right, from Charlotte. Now, let me ask you this question, Todd. Miss Friel, she's the one, right?
Miss or Mrs.?
Mrs. Friel.
Okay, see, Mrs. is different than Miss.
All right,
Mrs. One would be talking about my daughter, the other would be talking about my wife.
Right, we're going to go with the wife, Mrs. Friel.
All righty then.
All right.
So you boys are having trouble in there today, aren't
you? We're getting an English lesson today.
Look, man, words are hard.
All right. So since God is sovereign, how does he have one person picked out or planned for us to marry, as in the one, or is it up to us?
Yes.
Okay. That's a very simple answer. And on to the next one, Jimmy.
Well, wait. Everything is ordained by God.
Sure.
You don't escape God's will. You are doing exactly what God has ordained for you to do. So you genuinely choose that spouse, and he has already predetermined that you're going to be choosing that spouse.
So how do we know?
How do we? Well, that's a different question.
Well, she does ask that question. How do you know God wanted you to marry your wife?
Well, how do I know that God wanted me to marry Mrs. Friel? All right. Well, I would just be a little bit more detailed than that. How do I know that God wants me to marry somebody who's a believer, somebody with whom I'm compatible, somebody with whom for whom I have an attraction to them? How do I know that God wants me to marry that type of person? Because the Bible says so. Now, having defined what type of woman God wants me to marry, when I find that woman, I can then genuinely decide this one is or this one isn't for me. Remember, your decisions, they are genuine. And they should be guided by what the Bible says. So now let's use one of the classic examples that we've used here before that I think is really, really helpful. How do you know that one is the right one? Here's the answer. Because you chose that one. And if you didn't, that's not the right one. Let's say you are attracted to, you are interested in Betty. And you're also interested in Sally. Both of them are godly. Both of them have a pleasant sense of humor. Both of them you find yourself attracted to. So which one do you choose? You choose the one that you want to choose. And then when you make that decision, so let's just say you decide to marry Betty. Guess what? Betty is the one that God wanted you to marry. Otherwise, you wouldn't have married her. Now, let's just get kooky with this. You actually wanted to marry Sally, but you thought that it was God's will for you to marry Betty. So you propose to Sally and tell her, meet me at the church at noon on Saturday and be ready in the wings with a white wedding gown. That's all you should do. And then you go propose to Betty and you tell her that you're going to get married on Sunday. And so Betty is prepared to walk down the aisle. And as she gets there, you shove her to the side and say, come on, Sally, get in here. We're getting married quick before God finds out. Then God wanted you to marry Sally, because that's who you married. You are not going to deceive God. You're not going to trick God. You are not going to be outside of God's will. How do you know what God's will is? What you're doing. That's God's will for your life, and you're always in it. Even as you go about the business, perhaps, of sinning, that is still God's permissive will in your life. If you are hearing my voice right now, do you know what you're supposed to be doing right now? Hearing my voice right now. Do you know how I'm supposed to be talking into this microphone right now? Because I'm talking into this microphone right now. You are in God's will as you make decisions. You might be disobedient. You might actually be sinning. But nevertheless, that is exactly God's will for your life, because you're doing it. Now, just so nobody is deceived about this, that doesn't mean God is pleased with your behavior if you're sinning. And God is not pleased with that. But in the context of choosing a spouse, you take a look at the spouse. You consider, what does the Bible say about what is a godly spouse? You get godly counsel from other Christians. You consider your preference. Who do you like more, Betty or Sally? You make a decision, bingo, wah and la, that's God's will for your life. So if you right now are sitting and stewing going, I married the wrong woman. No, you didn't. How do I know? Because you're married to her. And if you weren't supposed to be married to her, you wouldn't be married to her. So now that you are in that relationship and you vowed till death do you part, then it is your responsibility to make it good and to make it sweet and to make it loving and to not get out under some unbiblical clause like, I think I married the wrong woman. Why? Because you can't. And the same thing applies to cars, houses, education, and careers. What does the Bible say? Get godly counsel. Pray for wisdom. Consider your preferences. Pull the trigger. That is God's will for your life. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. A new Vermont law supported by the abortion chain Planned Parenthood mandates that every middle and high school provides free condoms to students as young as 11. Fox News reports that Republican Governor Phil Scott signed the law October the 5th, despite major concerns from parents and pro-lifers about sexual abuse of young children. According to Vermont law, sex with a child under 16 is statutory rape. Prior to 16, state law recognizes that children are too young and immature to understand and consent to sex. This conflicts with the new law, which requires public middle and high schools, where children as young as 11 attend, to place free condoms in locations that are safe and readily accessible to students, including the school nurse's office. Interestingly, State Representative Topper McFaughn, a Republican who sponsored the legislation, said one of his key goals for the law is to reduce abortions. However, the Vermont Right to Life Committee, a leading pro-life group in the state, said the bill is dangerous and has the potential to increase abortion rates in Vermont. And as you can imagine, Planned Parenthood of Vermont supports the law. Of course it does. Harvest Bible Chapel has reached a multi-million dollar agreement to transfer some of its assets to former pastor James McDonald, who plans to continue in ministry outside the Chicago area megachurch. Harvest and McDonald had a contentious separation last year when he lost the position he held for over 30 years over inappropriate comments and harmful conduct stemming from his legal battle with people investigating the church. Though McDonald has been granted the rights to his Walk in the Word ministry, he and Harvest remain at odds. The two entities released separate statements detailing the results of the process, which went through the Institute for Christian Conciliation. Over the summer, they agreed to try to make a joint statement and start the process of relational reconciliation, according to the Harvest elders, but those efforts did not pan out. In the arbitration, McDonald retained the rights to Walk in the Word, a part of the church that had put on his teaching ministry and popular radio broadcast. It is now operating at James McDonald Ministry. The pastor also gets $1.2 million and a parcel of property in Crystal Lake, Illinois, as well as the ministry's equipment, books, and digital resources, according to the church. According to Harvest, their agreement resolves all claims and issues and releases the church from future legal matters over the arbitration terms. Well, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said last night he is open to adding seats to the U.S. Supreme Court and will announce his position prior to Election Day. Speaking at a town hall in Philadelphia, Biden said his position will depend on how the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett is handled by the Senate, which is expected to vote on her confirmation prior to Election Day on November the 3rd. The court has had 9 seats since 1869. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your reformers. Jan Hus, a Czech priest, was inspired by the writings of John Wycliffe to preach against papal excess and false doctrines such as transubstantiation. Even as he was burned at the stake by the Catholic Church, he continued to preach the gospel and sing the Psalms. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Emails, send your emails here. This is Wretched Radio. If you got a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, please send it to idea@wretched.org. Gentlemen?
Yes?
What's in the mailbag?
What's in the mailbag? Well, this one is from Summer. She says, hi, Todd. First, love your show.
Okay, we can edit some things.
What? We don't need to edit that. She loves your show. She loves Jimmy and Mike more, but she loves your show.
I see. All right.
She says, how do I witness to my father who professes to be a Christian but does not attend church because it's filled with hypocrites?
Yeah. Right now, people are using a lot of excuses to not go to church. It is not just Summer's dad. It appears that there's a lot of people who are not going to church. If that happens to describe you, you have fallen into a bad habit, perhaps because of the COVID pandemic. Might I encourage you to pick a date? Or might I encourage you to pick the hallmark? What's the benchmark here? When do you feel safe in returning back to church? If you do not give it a date, you will probably not return. I was reading an article on this, and I thought there was a great deal of wisdom in that. That if you do not determine right now, this is when I'm going to go back, there is a very good chance you're going to keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. And you're going to find yourself developing a habit of not going back to church, and you don't want to be doing that. Because historically, Origen said... And now this is way, 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 way pre-Catholic Church as we know it today. Who would say there's no salvation outside of the church? He said there's no salvation outside of the church. Not a system, but if you're a Christian that is not joining a church, serving in a church, regularly participating in a church, Origen would say you're not in the kingdom. It's that big of a deal. So if you have been putting it off, please set a date, define the parameters, and then when you hit them, skedaddle back to church. For your own soul's sake. Now, Summer's dad, not going to church because of hypocrisy. Well, yeah, we do hypocritical things. That's what sinners do, and that's why we go. And Summer's dad perhaps needs to be reminded that he too can be a hypocrite. So how does that override God's command to not forsake the assembling of the saint? I might suggest to you, Summer, there could be, not definitely, but there could be, if we believe guys like Origen, and historically, the church would teach that somebody who refuses to go to church should be disciplined, which is why you need to be a member of a church. You might want to just make sure that he has a clear understanding of the gospel. You might want to ask him some probing questions about the state of his soul. One of my favorites being, is Jesus precious to you? Dad, do you love his word like honey? We could scoot over to 1 John, where it says that he who does not love the brethren is not in the kingdom. Uh-oh. So by not going to church because you think that they're a bunch of hypocrites, this is a sign you're not saved. Do it lovingly. Don't forget, we should never do it obnoxiously. We should never, truth is, you should never rebuke an elder. Did you know that? 1 Timothy 5:1, you shouldn't rebuke an elder. You shouldn't rebuke your dad, but you say he's in sin. You entreat like a father. And if somebody is younger, you entreat like a brother. In other words, you don't go to him with a finger pointed. Hey, I don't think you're saved, Pop. You need to start going to church. What's the matter with you? Repent. No. Hey, Dad, I'm really concerned. Approach it lovingly, respectfully, honoring him, sharing your heart that you're concerned, and then jump into the Bible to say, Dad, let's just open up the book and see if it can be our judge. Let it arbitrate whether or not you should be going to church. And let's deal with the scriptures on their terms. And if you do that lovingly, well, then you're going to have some clarity one way or another. idea@wretched.org.
All right. Danielle Daniel. That was totally my bad. Last night, my 3-year-old daughter asked if God loved Pharaoh. That's the question.
Oh, did God love him? Well, see, if God loved Pharaoh, comma, it's typically an if-then sort of statement. What are they teaching you in Southern schools? What's going on in the state of Tennessee?
The 3-year-old asked if God loved Pharaoh. Exclamation point in quotations.
Did you hear about the country that is banning homeschooling? Jim, did you cover that in the news by any chance?
Yeah.
Of course it's France.
France.
They're banning homeschooling. And it is really I don't know if you read that or saw that story, but it's really fascinating giving the rationale because we are a secular state.
To save them from religion.
To save them from religion. Wow, tell me that isn't crystal. We are a republic, and these people that are indoctrinating their children, this has got to stop. So mandated school, unless you've got a health exemption, you have got to send your kid to public school. And let me tell you something. It's going to be about as anti-Christian as it can possibly be. Why? Because he has made it clear. France is very, very secular. Don't think that that can't come to a country near you.
I believe if I was reading that correctly, even if you are a private school, you would still have to adhere to the core curriculum.
Yep. Yeah, they've got their core standards, which means that they are going to indoctrinate your children in France. Now, tell me, how would you like to be a Christian parent in France? There are a couple. How are you going to feel? How are you going to deal with it if that comes to our country? Because it most certainly could. That's what secular humanism does. They do have a belief system, and they want you to conform to it, whether you want to or not. Speaking of conforming, congratulations to Capitol Hill Baptist Church, who has patiently petitioned the government to say, we'd like to worship, and they won. I thought this was a fascinating quote, by the way. This is, I think, an important line in understanding Romans 13, that the government can command even a church to do something as long as it is not displacing King Jesus from being the head of the church. So, for instance, the government can say, you need to have egress on that side of the building for that many people attending. And we say, fine. But when the church says you can only meet at this time or with this many people, all of a sudden, hold the phone, Henrietta, you've crossed the line of authority. From Capitol Hill, the church said in the complaint, it is a sincerely held religious belief that the physical corporate gathering of its entire congregation each Sunday is a central element of its religious worship commanded by the Lord. Therefore, the church's leaders chose long ago not to hold multiple services. So this is Capitol Hill Baptist. They don't want to do multiple services. They happen to have the conviction that doing separate services means you basically have two churches and they're one body. So that's their conviction. Senior Pastor Mark Dever decided not to live stream sermons during the pandemic because such a video, quote, is not a substitute for a covenanted congregation assembling together. Now, the fellow who wrote the opinion piece said that Washington, D.C. misses the point when it proposes the Capitol Hill Baptist hold multiple service, host a drive-in service, or broadcast over the radio, which other churches do. The fellow who made the decision said it ignores the church's sincerely held and undisputed belief about the theological importance of gathering in person as a full congregation. The district may think its proposed alternatives are sensible substitutes, and for many churches, they may be. It is for this church, not the district or this court, to define for itself the meaning of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. When the government sticks its nose in the church and says, this is how you're going to do your liturgy, this is how you're going to do church discipline, this is how you're going to preach your sermons, we say, sorry, you're not welcome. Because you do not have that authority inside of Christ's church. Congrats to Capitol Hill Baptist. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
I've got another question you can answer pretty quickly from Daniel. He says, if I get into...
No!
You're not going to answer?
You said it was quick.
Oh, okay.
I was just guessing.
Well, I mean, that probably is the answer. If I get into group projects at school with all unbelievers in my group, is that being unequally yoked?
No! No, you're doing schoolwork.
Right.
To be yoked to somebody, it's to be knit with somebody. It's to be intimate with somebody, not necessarily in a sexual way, but in a business partner relationship, in a marital relationship, a best friend relationship. You can have pagan friends, just not pagan best friends. You don't want to knit your heart together or your business or anything with somebody who is an unbeliever. That doesn't mean you can't do business. You can even do business deals with them. But becoming a partner in business with an unbeliever, that would be, I believe, of stepping over the line of not being unequally yoked. Doing a project, dude, carry on. idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
All right, so this gentleman says, I work in a bar where they serve alcohol and hookah and rap music. Is this okay for me to work here?
I think it can be okay. I think, though, that this one is cutting a little bit closer to the line when the express purpose of it is to serve alcohol. Now, the express purpose is not for people to get drunk. So I think that you can. I think you can be a waiter or a waitress, and I think that you can be serving alcohol. But you as a Christian are going to be just going to have to be careful and figure out a way somehow that if you're participating in somebody's drunkenness, that gets a whole lot closer to, well, people are going to sin and I'm not directly contributing to it. If you are, yikes, you might want to think about looking. This is Wretched Radio. If you'd like something a little bittersweet, visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. You'll see bitter there. Kids, disheveled, clearly poor, regularly malnourished. But here's the sweet part. They've got hope in their face. There's a little light in their eyes. Why? Because the light of the gospel is shining because of Tomorrow Clubs in poor European countries. Moldova, Albania, Georgia, Ukraine, Russia. Not only do Tomorrow Clubs reach kids in these poor villages, they also go into the even poorer orphanages to preach the gospel to those kids. Would you please consider providing more sweet than bitter and become a Tomorrow Club sponsor? You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, fall time is here, and you know what that means. It's pumpkin spice season. That's right. Coffee, scented candles, chapstick, Oreos, you name it, you can probably find it in pumpkin spice. And we didn't want to be left out, so for a limited time only, you can become a pumpkin spice gospel partner. What does that mean? Well, it's like a normal gospel partner, but spicy and pumpkin-y? Now, what's with the 20 questions? The point is, we want you to become a gospel partner. And when you become a gospel partner, you're going to be helping Wretched spread the good news of the gospel to people all over the world. As a matter of fact, every dollar you give is carefully stewarded away. If you're already a gospel partner, we are extremely grateful to you and for you. We can't do what we do without you. And if you're not, would you prayerfully consider becoming one? To become a gospel partner, it's simple, it's easy. All you have to do is visit wretched.org/donate. Or to make it even easier, you can text wretched to the number 44321. That's wretched.org/donate, or text the word wretched to the number 44321.
And now, a word from Paul Washer.
If you offer me 1,000 partially trained men who, according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, do not really qualify for the eldership, or you give me the option of one church planter that meets the requirements of 1 Timothy 3 and is trained theologically, he is trained with regard to the exposition of Scripture, I will take that one man over 1,000.
If you feel the same way, would you please visit wretched.org/pastor to learn more about the Master's Academy International, 17 countries, Master's Seminary graduates training indigenous pastors to be theologians. Small investment, massive impact. Would you please visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Mexican. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay then, found it. This is Wretched Radio. It took me a while, but I dug through the stack whilst you're sending emails to idea@wretched.org. France moves. How do they talk in France, Mike?
Parlez-vous français.
Ho ho. Hey, oui, oui.
A southerner mocking the French. That's rich. France moves to ban homeschooling, protect children from religion. This would be your Emmanuel Macron. Announced Friday his intention to outlaw homeschool for all children unless they have a medical exemption. Hello. Saying the government would also step up control of self-funded private and independent schools. No, people don't do things like this. Yeah, through inspections of curricula and by strong enforcement of a new law that requires private schools to teach a common core as defined by the state. The vice is being tightened on French Christians. According to Macron, his aim is to protect children from religion. Thank you. That's clear. Quote, it is truly the heart of the space of secularism, and it is the place where we form consciences so that children become free, rational citizens. Man, if you want to hear empiricism, if you want to hear secular humanism, this is as clear a statement as you will ever hear. We believe in reason. We believe in logic. We believe in rationality. Able to choose their own lives, human autonomy. The school is therefore our collective treasure. Because after all, it takes a village to indoctrinate our children. It is what allows us in our society to build this common thing that is the Republic. So starting 2021, Hufda, how would you like to be a Christian in France? Email sent to idea@wretched.org. You might want to start thinking about it because depending on how this election goes, got to tell you, this might become a reality. idea@wretched.org.
This one is a very good question, and I'm going to...
What are you saying? The other ones weren't?
No. I'm just saying this is a really good question to ask. I'm going to say it's from Anonymous. He's 32 years old, and he says the Lord has called him into ministry through preaching and teaching in the local church. And inside the church walls, he's not scared to preach the word. But when he is at work amongst his peers, when hearing or being told heresy, he's often scared to stand for the gospel. How do I stand for the gospel and biblical truth despite my lifelong struggle with being afraid?
With wisdom and with growth. That's all. Dude, of course you're going to have some spots where you're weak. We all do. That doesn't mean you're necessarily disqualified from pastoral ministry. It probably means, like any other weakness, which typically is a sin, needs to be repented of. You need to ask God for help, and then you need to utilize the means of growth that He has provided for you. And then you need to pray for courage, and you also need to pray for wisdom. I don't want to get squishy on this, but when you go to work, your job is to work. You're being paid. You've got a big boss man, and you need to be obedient. He did not sign you up to give you a paycheck so that you can share your faith, and you shouldn't feel guilty about that. Now, if you can do it during the lunch break, when you're away from the office, sweet, but you don't need to feel like you're sinning if you're not witnessing to the person next to you on the assembly line. You're called there to work. And I think being a good, obedient Christian worker is to be a good, obedient Christian worker. So don't feel guilt over something where I don't think that you're necessarily sinning. Now, what about your heart? Are you sinning because you're scared? Maybe, maybe not. Remember, Jesus, not only does he talk about this, but he exemplifies this. Jesus demonstrates that there are good ways of having emotions and bad ways. For instance, his heart being troubled. In John 14:1, he says, don't let your heart be troubled. But in John 13, he says his heart was troubled. Why? Because there's two types of troubling. One can be, yikes, my friend is going to betray me. That is reasonable troubling. That's a non-sinful troubling. But being in a panic because Jesus is going to return to the Father is not a, it's a type of faithless worrying, which demonstrates you're not believing and trusting in God. And so that is why in one instance he himself is troubled and in the next instance he says, don't be troubled. So in other words, you can be troubled like this, but not like that. Consider jealousy. It can be sinful. It might not be. For instance, Jimmy could be jealous of Mike's fuller beard.
That he is.
That would be sinful right there. But let's say that Jimmy is jealous for his wife's affections. That's not sinful. That's right. God is jealous for his children. And yet he doesn't commit the sin of jealousness. You can covet things like, you know what? I would really like to be more spiritually mature like that person. That's fine. Wanting that person's car, that would be a sinful way. And so the same thing is true with issues of feeling afraid. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. Look, it can be scary to witness and share your faith. You could get fired. You could lose a friend. Those are reasonable considerations. And if you have those, you're not sinning. But if it's like, oh, I'm just, you know what, I'm ashamed of Jesus and I don't want people to think I'm stupid. Well, that's a problem. And that's something that we all need to repent of, do we not? I think that we should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we are, if that's the type of fear that's kind of boiling up inside of us, needs to be repented of. And you need to have a role model for you, which is the Apostle Paul, who came to the Corinthians with fear, no eloquency of speech, and much trembling. Does that mean he gave up? No, he did it anyway. So maybe you just need to push through. Maybe you just need to get on it. And as you go about doing that, and God provides for you, you will increasingly trust him. Another way that you could do that, read the stories of God's faithfulness to his children. Look at how he's pulled through every time. You say, well, yeah, but what about the times that Paul got beat? Right. He also can permit that too. But you can know, because God is sovereign, he will only do what is best for you. And that might include you lose a friend. It might include someday that we can't homeschool. It might include that we don't get to work at many places. It might mean that we get put in jail. That's God's will. And we can have confidence as we go about our walk that God cares for us and he only does what is best for us. Idea@wretched.org. By the way, can I just say, we better start thinking more like the French Christians are right now.
I was thinking that.
Yeah, have those conversations now. For instance, tonight at dinner. Darling, what would you think if we... I was trying to be French. I sounded kind of like a creepy Nazi right there, didn't I?
You do that. It sounds like Count Drac.
Bonjour, darling. What will we do if the government does not allow us to homeschool? This would be terrible. Now I sounded like Tevye. Okay, maybe you just want to have this conversation with or without an accent. Idea@wretched.org. Here's what's fascinating, though, Mike.
Yes.
Your French mockery accent was better than mine as a Southerner.
You know, I'm pretty good at it.
Mocking people.
Well, it's a gift, apparently.
It's a gift. All right, from Travis. He says, I'm divorced on unbiblical grounds. Oh, and let me preface this because he says, I'm asking
you a second.
Question.
I caught it too.
What?
What are you going to do?
Preface. Insurance. Preface.
Okay, preface it for us.
All right. But he says, please know, I'm not asking this question looking for a loophole. All right. So he says, I'm divorced on unbiblical grounds. I understand this permanently disqualifies me from the roles of pastor elder. That said, in my church, they do allow laity to preach periodically during the year after attending certain training classes. Is this something that I should be permitted to do?
I think you should work it out with your pastor. But there's a little bit of information, unless it's buried somewhere in that email. It was unbiblical grounds. Was it before or after he got saved?
That was not clarified.
See, that's kind of a big deal right there. That could be the deal breaker. If it was before you were saved, that's your past. Those your pagan sins don't disqualify you from ministry. Otherwise, none of us could do anything. You couldn't teach a Sunday school class because nobody would be. So you've got that as a past. Now, when did that happen? What were the circumstances? How long ago was that? Those are all things that should be worked through in the context of your local church. And I would be really unwise and unhelpful by saying this or that with scant details. Idea@wretched.org. Don't give me the panic face. We can do this.
Well, it's on you here, bud. At my local church, this is from Samuel, where I've been a member for nearly 3 years. I've not seen a baptism for nearly a year now. Is that evidence of an unhealthy church?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe nobody's been getting saved, and that could be a bad sign. I don't know the zip code of the place. I don't know what sort of evangelistic outreaches are going on. Without those sort of details, it is a possibility. If nobody's ever getting baptized, it could be a whole lot of sheep stealing going on that might be causing your growth. It could be a number of issues, but if they're not doing baptisms because they don't think it's a big deal, uh-oh. If they're not doing baptisms because let's just wait till we have a few more people, uh-oh. That's just something that needs to be corrected. It could also be a sign, as you indicate in your email, that if they're not making any effort as a body to reach the lost, That's a sickness that I think you should get over, lickety split, and become healthier with a greater focus on evangelism, because that's what we're here to do. Make disciples. I hope that preface was enough. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.